and a Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A Show. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, friends. It's Pastor William Mawala coming to you live from our studio here in Adelaide, South Australia. Hope you're having a wonderful end of your day. And tonight's a little bit different because Pastor Brenton is away on a break, but I do have in place a fellow colleague in ministry, Pastor Dieter Stahl. Pastor Dieter, can you hear me?
I can clear.
Wonderful. I'm glad that technology is serving us well, at least for this stage. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing really well. Yourself?
Wonderful. God is good. I'm doing amazing. So, amen. Pastor Dieter, for those who may not know, Pastor Dieter, you are pastoring out at the Port Augusta Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's correct, isn't it?
That's correct. Port Augusta and Port Pirie is my region, yep.
Port Augusta and Port Pirie. And how are things going out there, buddy?
Oh, it's a couple of degrees warmer than down you guys, but other than that, I think the saints are warm and friendly, and it's just lovely.
Wonderful. Well, hey, Pastor Dieter, it's great to be with you and to be sharing with you tonight, and I hope that our listeners out there, wherever you find yourself, driving home or at home or wherever you may even be listening to this at a future time, hey, praise God. Thank you for choosing to be with us. As we always do in the studio, I always want to make an effort to say to you out there in Radio Land, if you have the chance and you have the opportunity, let us know where you're listening from. And the number here is 0488 80811. And for those regular listeners, you know that that's the number that we always use for our free book offer. So that is a big part of what we do here at Faith FM. We always want to promote our book offer, and tonight is no different. We have a wonderful book resource that we want to put in your hands this week that we guarantee will bless your soul. So let me introduce the theme, actually. So the theme tonight that we're going to kick off to this evening, Jesus lives, does it matter? And so that's the overarching theme. But tonight's question that Dieter and I will be looking at is talking about Easter. And the question that we're looking at tonight, is Easter biblical? Now, as we all know, that Easter long weekend is just around the corner, end of the week. And so what better topic to talk about than the topic of Easter? And so just to let you know what the rest of our team were looking at, different aspects of this Easter theme. So the question that Dieter and I will be looking at tonight, is Easter biblical? We've also got our team looking at the questions, did Jesus really exist? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Why does the resurrection matter? And at the end of the week, how can a day of death be called Good Friday? And so they are the questions that our team will be looking at tonight. So we hope if you can't catch it live, hey, jump on faithfm.com.au and you can catch all of our past episodes. But tonight, as we go live, we're looking at the question of Easter and is it biblical? So if you have the opportunity and you can let us know where you're listening from, drop us a text. And I've got the screen up here in the studio. And when your texts and comments and your book offer requests come through, we always want to do our best to give you a quick shout out. So our number, once again, 0488 80811. So we're just going to switch gears for the time being, and I want to read an article for our World Watch segment. And the article is based on from the Guardian website, and it was posted today. And it's basically an opinion piece in the religion section. And so I just want to read, and it's not a super long article. It'll probably take me, you know, a few minutes to read. But the title of the article is this: I don't know what God is, but the search keeps me grounded and feeling alive. Now, the article is written by a lady by the name of Karen Rinaldi. And so this is in the opinion piece in the religion section that was posted today. And the subheading of Karen's article is this: I rejected the church as a teen, but I've lately felt called to look for God, and my understanding has changed. So if you will, allow me a few minutes. I want to read the article, and Dieter, in a couple of minutes, love to hear your thoughts and on the article as well. So here we go. So I don't know what God is, but the search keeps me grounded and feeling alive. Karen begins the article by saying, 2 months ago into the pandemic, I began a practice I called, quote, when I look for God. With so much changing so quickly, I was looking to find space during each day when I could ground myself amidst the uncertainty. The previous 5 years had opened up a spiritual yearning, spurred by a life-shifting moment while surfing when God became profoundly known to me. These encounters of grace began to happen with some frequency. I was both compelled and confused by this new awakening. God has always been elusive to me. I grew up Catholic, attended church on Sundays, went to catechism. I was baptized as an infant, received my first communion at 7, and was confirmed at 11. None of this brought me any closer to God. I finally rejected the church as a young teen for its part in sustaining and promoting human biases I couldn't reconcile with a loving God, among them misogyny, homophobia, abuse. Then I felt myself called in middle age to explore what seemed to be deeply embedded in my DNA. Was this a hangover from my early life? I struggled to recognize a firmly constructed self as a skeptic. During the lockdown, when I made it a practice to look for God in the newly limited frame of my existence, I would take a walk outside in the early morning, sit on a bench at the shore, and cast a wide gaze. I take deep breaths to clear a path to receive God's presence. Sometimes, nothing. I tried not to want it so badly as to belie the point of the practice. I'd wait, and if nothing happened after, say, half an hour, I would return home. At least I'd found some quiet time. There were times when God appeared as if conjured. A pod of dolphins would break the surface of the water. Two young whales breached close to the shore. An osprey carried a fish back to her nest to feed her fledgings. A foggy morning allowed a veiled glimpse of a father and his adolescent child sharing a surfboard in the small waves. My understanding of God shifted precipitously one day when a man approached the small bench I was sitting on and sat down next to me, too close for comfort. I shifted to the left to put some space between us. There were plenty of other benches nearby and no one else around. He didn't ask permission to join me, even though these were early days of COVID and people were behaving with caution. I'd been clearly enjoying my solitude, but he wasn't clocking it. Instead, sitting not 2 feet away, this intruder began to talk at me. My space violated and my sense of peace now evaporated. I considered asking him to please find another place to sit. Then I recalled why I was there in the first place and decided instead to accept his presence and to listen. I realized quickly that he was lonely and not entirely mentally well. I don't recall anything specific that he had said, only that he was disjointed and abstract. My annoyance evaporated and I was filled instead with compassion for this person who was clearly not okay. When he finally walked away, I'd lost those initial feelings of animosity and even felt a kind of love I couldn't name. I'd resumed the wide gaze to continue my search for God that morning when a grin emerged from a small epiphany. Who says God isn't also an intrusion or discomfort? Maybe God sometimes arrives in the disguise of a clueless dude come to ruin your perfectly loving morning. Matthew 7:7. Yep, God appeared that day in a way that challenged my assumptions. It wouldn't be the last time. Sometimes God is a fly. In a particular trying moment, a single black housefly kept hitting me in the head as I sat in the living room couch while working remotely. It was enough to feel beleaguered by life. But this fly was an added insult. With a Walter White-like intensity, I grabbed the tennis racket zapper, its lattice of metal electrified by pressing a red button on the handle. I was going to fry this bugger. I sat still, racket in hand, and waited for the fly to re-engage in its determination to drive me to furious distraction. When I caught a glimpse of the buzzing nuisance, I swiped the air, trying to swat the small frantic body flying willy-nilly around me. Damn if I couldn't make contact, I did this for 10 minutes until a sudden awareness struck me. Uh-oh. I put the racket down, and the God fly, which continued to get in my face, was no longer a problem to solve. Instead, it became company for the afternoon. And just a little bit here at the end. After 6 years of practice, I still don't know any more of what God is or isn't than I did before. What I do know is that the act of looking for God brings respite from the ruminating mind and an openness to experience outside of the noisy self, a self that entangles me almost more than I can bear to acknowledge. To think about it practically, it's a way of offloading anxiety and offers a relief from the imperative of acceptance. Anxiety is about the future. Acceptance is about the past. Looking for God is the practice of living in the present. I trust now that I will see God when God allows it, often when I'm not even looking. It's no longer necessary to find a space of quiet or to create intention. Attunement is enough. I understand for the first time the assertion of the faithful that God is everywhere, even in unwelcome or desolate moments, or most simply, God is. Of course, I don't ever really find God. God finds me. And that's an article by Karen Rinaldi. She's the executive editor at HarperCollins Publishers, as well as the author of two published books and essays across multiple media platforms. She lives in Brooklyn and the Hudson River Valley. So there you have it. There's a bit of an article. I guess for me, love to hear your thoughts as well, Pastor Dieter. I guess what I got from that article, the idea that she was, you know, seeking God. And I think the big thing for me that I kind of got out of that article was she kind of made this point that the search in and of itself is the point. And she was kind of basically saying that the value essentially doesn't lie not in finding answers about God, but in the process of looking, which, as according to her words, which provides a respite and attunement to the present. So I don't know. What are your thoughts about that, Pastor Dieter? I know it was a more of a reflective, I guess, article by this particular lady, Karen. And I think maybe in some ways we're all on a search, whether it's God or, you know, people who may not claim to be religious. There's something in us that we're constantly seeking. And I always say this, Dieter, when I think about, you know, everybody has a worldview. And I often teach this when I'm, you know, sitting down with people and trying to explain the Christian worldview. I kind of preface it by saying, hey, everybody has a worldview, and every worldview has to answer the big questions about origin, you know, meaning, you know, how do you find morality in your worldview, and ultimately destiny. And I think for me, the article kind of spoke to the idea, like, she's trying to find meaning. And, you know, even though there's two very, you know, humorous, you know, situations in the article, you know, the fly thing and the, and this random dude, you know, just kind of rocking up to her and, you know, kind of engaging with her. I think there's a bit of commonality there. I think we all kind of have these random things that happen, and we kind of reflect and go, hey, that seemed pretty random. Or then you kind of can look at it, well, hang on, if God is everywhere and God is kind of always present, maybe it wasn't so random after all. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Pastor Dieter? I know that you were just kind of kicking back listening, but did anything jump out at you from that article? Or?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of things. I really appreciated the writer's style. It certainly kept you engaged, right?
Yeah.
But there's some common things, I think, to majority of humanity where we can all sit down and say, hey, I get what she's saying in this area or that area or even some few. But there's two things I'll sort of pull out. Number one was that she mentioned, and the subtitle as well, that she doesn't know what God is. Mm. And I've reflected on that a lot myself in my own journey. So immediately I was interested in what she had to say.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that after all the searching, when you read scripture and understand that Jesus came for us to understand who God is, his character, then the what issue became irrelevant. So a lot of people have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of effort trying to force God into a box so that we can understand him, almost like we're bringing him down to an equal. or trying to even, heaven forbid, raise us up to an equal. And I didn't get that impression from Karen's article. My impression was that the relational is starting to stand out at her, or to her rather strongly.
Right.
Like, for example, that bloke who sat with her and she realized that, hang on a second, this human connection is so important in this search for understanding God. And then mentioning about the animals or a pod of dolphins breaking at the right time, a lot of people would sit off to the side and say, that's a bit ridiculous. That happens every day. However, it is, I've experienced this coincidence in a way that I don't believe in such a thing as coincidence. God has his hand in everything, but he never forces us. And so when he wants us to see his love, he will find and use anything that will touch us, whether it is a pod of dolphins, whether it is a beam of sunlight coming down at the right moment when we're feeling particularly. He will use anything he can to show us his love and his kindness towards us, even amidst all the turmoil of the darkness of this world. So those things stood out to me.
Yeah, love that. And just as we wrap up, I love how in the article she was talking about this idea that when she was looking for God, it was in some form of detachment from, I think according to her words, from the internal noise and the anxiety that entangles so many of us. And I love that idea that when we're looking for God, in some ways that the pursuit itself is almost like it, you don't have time for all the other stuff that seems to encroach upon our daily lives, because somewhere in our hearts, there's a desire to, you know, to connect with the divine, to connect with God. And I think I'm with you, Pastor Dieter, if we could kind of reframe the title of the article, where she's, you know, the title of the article is, I don't know what God is, but the search keeps me grounded. And, and she was saying, you know, early on in her journey, she was brought up Catholic, and for various reasons, she had detached from the Catholic faith. And I think not just that, a lot of people maybe grew up in church and for various reasons, they just have been, you know, disconnected from that part of their initial upbringing. I just want to say to this, as we kind of wrap up the article, which is reason why we're talking about our topic tonight is Easter biblical. You know, she says, you know, the title of the article is, I don't know what God is. And aren't we saying, Pastor Dieter, as Christians, as part of the Faith FM ministry, hey, God has revealed himself through the Bible, and the ultimate revelation of God is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If anything, and this is what's so cool about God, hey, Pastor Dieter, is, hey, we believe in a God that knows everything. He's all present. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And somewhere there is a lady who's living in, where's she living again? At the end of the article, she's living somewhere in the Hudson River Valley. Look, we don't know who he is. We don't know who she is. We just read her article today. But isn't it awesome to think, and I believe this, and I'm sure you do as well, Pastor Dieter, that there is a God that is actively seeking Karen through these random events in her life. And she's kind of putting it down to, hey, you know, that random fly incident, you know, she kind of get rid of it. She's like, I'm just going to live with the fly, you know, like, who cares? But the Bible that I believe and preach and teach and try to live my life in accordance to is about a God who knows Karen and knows every single person on the face of this earth. And that's mind blowing to think that, that God can see the journey and the attempt of all mankind to somehow get to know him. And I think it's wonderful. And look, to Karen, and you know, we may never meet this lady on this side of eternity, but hey, Karen, thank you for putting your experiences you know, online for the whole world to see and read, and we can resonate with your story, Karen, and we just pray and hope that somewhere along that journey that you would know that there is a God in revealed in scripture, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that is the ultimate, why we want to do what we do here on Faith FM. So appreciate your thoughts, Pastor Dieter. And yeah, it's just an article that I just wanted to share with our listeners out there. And so we hope that you enjoy that article. And look, we're all on a quest. We're all seeking God. We're all on a journey. And this is where the God factor comes in, that He wants to know us. So that's the framework from which we operate as Christians. And so, yeah. So, hey, look, we're going to go to some music in a short bit. But before we do, we just want to promote our book offer just at the outset of our program. So if you're listening and you have the opportunity to grab your phone, hey, we want to put this wonderful resource in your hands. Our book offer tonight is the book entitled The Desire of Ages. And this is the ASI Sharing Edition. It's by the author Ellen G. White. It is a devotional classic on the life of Jesus. Can I just say on the outset, and I'm sure you agree with me, Pastor Dieter, if you do not have a copy of this book, or you have never read the book The Desire of Ages by Ellen White, do yourself a favor, grab your phone and text through for the book offer. I'm telling you, outside of the Bible, it is one of the best books that I have ever written, not written, ever read on the life of Jesus. If you'd like a free copy, you just need to grab your phone. You need to text the code. So grab your phone, text the code SA410, capital S, capital A, 410, SA410. You need to text that code. That's the only thing we need. We don't need, just text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, the book is called Desire of Ages. If you haven't read it, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor, text through. And by the way, can I say furthermore, if you're listening and you know all about the book Desire of Ages, text through anyway and give it to a friend of yours. So the code is SA410. Text that through to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So we're going to go to some music. And when we come back, we'll Pastor Dieter is going to walk us through trying to attempt to answer this question, is Easter biblical? We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Redeemer.
Same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
Worth the living.
that was Anthem Lights because he lives. Hope you enjoyed that classic rendition of that wonderful hymn. Hey, it's Pastor Will here in the studio, and I'm joined by Pastor Dieter, and we are going to talk tonight about Easter. And the question of the hour is Easter a biblical? So Pastor Dieter, who is the pastor of the Port Augusta and Port Pirie churches in Adelaide, South Australia, is going to be walking us through this particular topic tonight. So Pastor Dieter, you know, in light of Easter coming around the corner this coming weekend, what are your thoughts on the topic of Easter? Is there a biblical case for Easter?
Interesting. It's a divisive question in some quarters, but it's an important one. And I very strongly believe that understanding where things come from helps us to be able to navigate where we are. Yeah. And especially when we view things through the lenses of Scripture. So first of all, we say, is it scriptural? Is it biblical? Depends on what we view Easter is. And Easter in itself is just a name in some respects. However, that name means different things to other people. So I was asked by a friend of mine who celebrates a different religious tradition in their words. And Easter is so very important to them, and they believe that it's when Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday and so on and so forth. And I was interested to hear that their view of Easter was that it is firmly biblical. And me being a person who loves history, I had to navigate it very carefully because I don't want to negate what the Word of God says, but at the same time, I'm not going to support things that I see as pagan. But at this time of the year is one of the two times annually that in an increasingly unchristian and hostile world, it's one of the two times that we get to talk more openly and directly about what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So there's benefit there. So to answer the question straight up, no, Easter is not in the Bible. Then people would come and say, but what about Acts chapter 12, verse 4? So that one, you'd remember when Peter was being imprisoned, and they happened to do it many of the translations say at Easter time, but it wasn't an Easter in Israel or Judea. So you remember the festival that they were celebrating, don't you?
Yes.
So that festival is meaningful to us all today. We would call it the Passover, but Greek scripture, the Greek scriptures which was translated from Easter, or to Easter rather, is actually the word Pascha, but that's not a Greek word either. It's a loan word, or rather a transliteration of a Hebrew word, which means literally the Passover.
Right.
So we say, well, where did it come from? Why do we call it Easter? And so before we talk a little bit about the biblical perspective, Easter itself was governed by a more lunar cycle, and it was about the point at which they recognized spring to come in, spring to have its prominence, because they just escaped, as it were, winter. Now, of course, winter was celebrated by darkness and death and so forth, but spring is about life and new life particularly. And it happened to be about the same time, give or take a couple of weeks, as the Hebrew festival of the Passover.
Right.
Throughout the ancient Near East, the fertility cults and the fertility practices and goddess worship were very prominent. And many of those that for example, Ishtar, were celebrated by the involvement of eggs and rabbits, which is very familiar to us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But in the the anglicized tradition, they also had a Saxon goddess, if you will, for want of a better word, deity that they worshipped at this time of year, which it's also known as Eostra, that was also celebrated with, guess what? Eggs and rabbits.
Right.
And so that crept into Christianity because over the years, we find how Christianity was developing, and it was times of peace, and then there were times of persecution, a little bit of peace, and then great persecution, and so on and so forth, until we get to Constantine, who didn't see that the internal wars and fighting and blaming Christians was very useful to his vision of the empire. And the Council of Nicaea, the first Council of Nicaea in 325, looked at this question of when should Easter or the Passover be. Now, this was useful because one of the things that Constantine was really looking to is to create a sort of a peace amongst the different religions.
Okay.
For paganism, there were a lot of cults that happened, and they sort of intermingled with each other and so on and so forth. But Christianity, on the other hand, rejected those cults. But when there was peace, a lot of people came into Christianity, some of them bringing in their own ideals and their own practices that they'd grown up doing. And so the Christian church wanted to get at the bottom of that. And Constantine, of course, looking to bring peace in his empire, he encouraged the church people to settle on a particular date. This right. was a little bit of a problem, though, because when we look at when it fell on in the Hebrew calendar, it was on the 14th month of Nisan, which wasn't invariably over a Sunday period. So on the time that Jesus was crucified, the resurrection, the death, the resurrection, and the raising from the dead, it happened on a Friday and a Sabbath, and on a Sunday morning, he was risen.
Right.
And there were some in the church saying, oh, well, it has to operate over that weekend like that. So they went from being a calendar date where it could fall in the middle of the week, for example, if they kept to the Hebrew calendar. But they said, no, it has to be over the Sunday period, which actually coincided with the lunar calendar that the pagan world were operating by and the pagan festivals. And it consolidated and was able to strengthen the argument for Sunday sacredness in the early church with the church in Rome and the church in Alexandria. So it's kind of interesting to notice how the paganism and the Christianity in times of peace began to intermarry to certain ways.
Yep.
So what would you say would be amongst the most common questions that you've had in regards to Easter, and is it biblical in your ministerial experience, Will?
I think like Easter and Christmas, I think this is really when we kind of have these types of conversations, where particularly Easter and obviously Christmas. And again, the same question is repeated during Christmas. What's the origins of Christmas, and should Christians celebrate Christmas, etc.? So, look, to be totally honest with you, and look, I've been a pastor for, you know, going on 11 years now. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've had a very, I guess, a concerned church member or, you know, that has approached me and basically asked me about, you know, what's this whole thing about Easter? So, so in some ways, it's not something that I've directly had to kind of have you know, a conversation with someone on. It's, I guess it's more of a cultural thing that kind of, it's just something that people kind of, it's in the air, so to speak. You know, you see it on the internet, you see, you know, you go to your local shopping center and you see all the paraphernalia surrounding Easter, you know, all the Easter egg chocolates and, you know, the Easter bunnies and all that. So in some ways it's almost like, I don't know, the way I see it is it's a cultural thing that's almost been embedded in our way of life in the Western world, that we often don't necessarily kind of ask these questions, you know, about, well, where did this whole thing come from, you know? So that's kind of my short answer. But if I'm hearing you correctly, Pastor Dieter, what you're saying is, and I think this is worth noting, is that, is Easter biblical, what you're saying, from the history, that it actually comes from, it actually is pagan in origin? So that's probably could be something maybe a bit of an eye-opener for some people tonight to think that, oh, man, this thing that I've been celebrating since I was a little kid and I thought, you know, I didn't really have – didn't give it a second thought about, you know, the chocolates and all this. If I kind of look into the historical aspect that, wow, I didn't realize that there's some pretty – there's a you know there's a pagan history behind it. Same thing with Christmas, etc. So, I guess where we land with this Pastor Dieter is, according to Scripture, we don't necessarily see. Well, not necessarily. We don't see any, I guess, instruction, counsel, principle of this idea of celebrating Easter. However, that's not to say, talking about the actual biblical account of Jesus's death and, you know, the whole Christian story of Jesus dying on the cross and being raised, you know, on the first day of the week as what, you know, people commonly call, Easter Sunday, which you alluded to earlier. So I think the historical fact of Jesus dying on a cross and raising from the dead. Yes, that is in Scripture. That's the essence of Christianity. But this idea of Easter and, you know, like you were talking about the calendar, the lunar cycle, that, you know, that gets a bit technical, doesn't it? When they're trying to line up the festival with the moon and the, you know, that to me is, it's a bit out of my depth, to be honest, but it seems to me like they were, well, what I'm hearing from you, Pastor Dieter, and I've looked at this topic, you know, over the years, is they're trying to take something pagan and try and inserting it into the Christian, I guess, into Christian practice and lifestyle. Would that be correct or?
That would be fair, but I'm not going to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, and pull the rug from under people's feet and sort of watch them on the ground. That wouldn't be fair or right. Because it is important to remember what Jesus did. And while in Scripture we have two key things that we celebrate the resurrection for. Number one is what Christ told us in celebrating the Lord's Supper. Yep. And he said, as often as you do it in reverence of me. But the other thing is we celebrate baptism because the biblical justification for remembering the resurrection of Jesus is actually in the rite of baptism.
Amen.
And so we say, well, we're told that that's the biblical perspective and the Bible says to us, do this in remembrance of me. We are told to every time we, like the early church, whenever they were together and broke bread, they were there and shared a meal together, remembering what Jesus did, washing each other's feet and breaking the bread and take part of the grape juice. Those were so important to them and they are so important to us.
Hey, Pastor Dieter, can I just interject here? I'm just looking on the screen. We have a couple of, we have Joseph who's text through for the book offer. So Joseph, if you're still online, mate, and, blessings to you, my brother. We've got your, request. We'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. We've also got another, gentleman, William Amish. He's, text through saying, we all know Jesus died on Friday and resurrected on Sunday, but not the Easter world celebrating. I agree with your sentiments, William. And this to me is a huge, I mean, you would know this very well, Pastor Dieter, when we're trying to establish, what day the Sabbath is, or kind of like it's a question on the Sabbath, but you know, the end of, what is it? Those last few verses of Luke chapter 23. And then that first verse of Luke 24, the first day, we've got those 3 days mentioned there, preparation day, first day of the week, and the disciples resting according to the commandment, the Bible says. But we're with you, William, and we understand that, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, those events of how Jesus died and how he was risen. So we're with you on that, William. The question we're trying to ask tonight is, when we think of the Easter egg bunnies and we think of this concept of Easter, is it biblical? And I guess we're saying in a very, in a tempered way that we don't see it in scripture. However, as Pastor Dieter is correctly saying, we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we recognize that it's on these 2 days more than any that people have an openness to, they're more susceptible to the gospel, to the person of Jesus. I mean, think about it, Pastor Dieter, and I'm sure our listeners out there would agree. I mean, there's millions and millions and millions of people across the world this coming weekend is going to be celebrating Easter. Now, whether they say it's because I'm a Christian or not, everybody knows it's Easter long weekend. I mean, even if you're just in your normal day-to-day 9-to-5 job, you've highlighted this weekend weeks and weeks in advance, because you're like, yes, I get the long weekend and I get a couple of public holidays. Like, who doesn't like a public holiday? Of course. But what we're trying to say is tonight, Pastor Dieter, do we see Easter in the Bible? And at the end of the day, that's what we want to be. We want to be Bible-believing Christians. I love how you're kind of walking this fine line, I guess, Pastor Dieter, is, look, we don't want to shy away from the truth, but we don't want to, I guess, use the truth to kind of bash people over the head and go, you know, if you're buying an Easter egg, then don't you know the origins of that? You know, so I think there's, I guess, extremes on both sides to just take everything willy-nilly as, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. So I hear from you, Pastor Dieter, there's definitely being true to truth and scripture, but also understanding the context, and this is a wonderful time. And I think the same argument, as you would agree, Pastor Dieter, we often share these same sentiments around Christmas time. You know, we understand that there is a pagan element of Christmas, but hey, we don't just, you know, go to the extreme and go, well, you know, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas, and I'm not going to, you know, if someone says Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to turn around and thump them with some, you know, 5 facts about why Christmas is pagan. So I think, you know, what does Jesus say somewhere in the Gospels? You know, we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
We've got to
walk that line as Jesus did. So back to you, Pastor Dieter. When you think about the origins of Easter, I think something's coming clear to me is that, biblically speaking, we don't necessarily see it there. However, do we just kind of, you know, basically take a hard-nosed approach and, you know, stand in, you know, we're on the banner of truth, and when we, you know, resent and, you know, anyone that's kind of hinting at, you know, having this as part of, let me go back to the Christmas analogy. I know I'm probably jumping. You know, there's nothing, you know, look, in the Moala household, you know, we buy presents and we wrap it up and stuff like that. But again, we understand the, I guess, the biblical, you know, the historical, the history of Christmas. But like you were saying earlier, we kind of understand it, but we celebrate it in some ways, if that kind of makes sense. Not that we celebrate the pagan aspect of it, but we understand that this is very much a cultural thing that we experience here in the West, in Australia. It's a time where people are more open to the story of Jesus. So, hey, why not use the time? And by the way, secular people, doesn't matter if it's secular, religious, people look forward to Christmas. It's a time where they catch up with their family, and it's a time where you can spend time with your loved ones. And in some ways, it's a bit of that same, I guess, sentiments being expressed in this conversation about Easter. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Dieter?
I think for myself, I don't celebrate Easter or Christmas. I do eat the buns that come out. I do like them. And
the hot cross buns, is it?
That's right. Yeah. And when you get to Christmas, for example, that is the time when companies and businesses tend to shut down so that people can afford to visit. And fellowship's so important, but that comes back, I guess, to the Sabbath. You know, we celebrate that Sabbath by Sabbath with our families, you know. But on a more personal level, I'll share this little anecdote. I remember some years ago I met a person quite incidentally, and they were agitated about something Easter being put out. And they were upset about the rabbits and the eggs. And they turned to me and started the conversation and saying that they had, somebody was mean to them, for want of a better phrase, when they were young, and they witnessed something happen that shouldn't have happened in the name of Christianity or Christ. And so they've rejected anything to do with Easter and Christmas. And, you know, this was quite an interesting conversation, because me, as I mentioned, I've always loved history, you know, and it was the beginning of a conversation. I said, well, you know that Easter is not exactly Christian, and it actually turned up to be an opportunity to be able to talk about what Christ actually did do for us and when it happened and all of these things around it. And I believe that there are a lot of people who might have that perspective, that they might be against Christianity because of things done in the name of Christ that are never biblical, and they're hurt and they're pain. They're just reacting as they only know how.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for those of us who do know, that's a perfect opportunity to be able to reach out in a loving, kind way to say, well, actually, this is what Jesus did. And that's the whole purpose of the Last Supper, that Jesus takes those symbols. He takes the bread and says, do this in remembrance of me. It's my body broken for you. We remember that at this time of year, but we as Christians are called to remember it every time we fellowship, every time we eat. And then his body broken, his bleeding, giving his lifeblood for us is a time for us to remember what happened.
Yeah.
And, of his sacrifice to cover us and our multitudes of sin. But it also redefines the meaning of the Passover process from the Old Testament. That was a huge deal in the Hebrew, Israelite, and then Judean calendars. It was the pinnacle, because this festival reminded them that in a very real way, their lives were saved, particularly the firstborn were saved way back, so that they could have freedom from slavery.
Yeah.
And in a very real sense, that was a prophetic pointing forward to Jesus, who would the innocent sacrifice, who would take away our sins and take us out of the slavery to sin.
Yeah.
And so when we remember that, that's a far bigger meaning than just getting together and enjoying the fruits of festivities.
Yeah.
But also that we are remembering that we are leaving this world to go to a promised land. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ to take us back, or take us to heaven. And then after the millennium, we're waiting for the new earth to be recreated.
Yeah.
And in that sense, all of these emblems, all of these symbols point back to Jesus, what he's done for us and what he's guaranteed to us, and that right now he's ministering on our behalf, he's mediating on our behalf, as the Bible puts it.
Amen.
As we're looking forward to him.
Amen. So I guess we've got about 10 minutes to go. Man, time has flown. So I guess let me frame the conversation like this. So if you're a Christian and you're listening tonight, what are some, and like, let's say someone came up to me, because I'm a church pastor, and they said, Pastor Will, should I celebrate Easter? Maybe a number of thoughts to consider. Number one, generally speaking, why do people celebrate Easter? It's the celebrating the resurrection. So is that a good thing? Absolutely. Easter is about this message of hope. For instance, this coming weekend, Pastor Dieter, at the church that I pastor here in Adelaide, Para Vista, we're calling it an Easter service. Now, am I compromising in calling it an Easter service? Well, that's up to, you know, that's up to people to decide for themselves. But, you know, like you as well, Pastor Dieter, when I look at the calendar of what's happening during the course of the year, there's a few key dates that stand out for me. And one of them is Easter long weekend. And I've got my eye on April 4. So for us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we worship on Saturday. And so this coming Saturday, I'll be preaching a message, The Case for Christ, which is basically a presentation to highlight the Christian message. So there are ways, you know, Look, this is just my opinion. If a Christian wants to celebrate Easter and, hey, Pastor Will, it's about the resurrection of Jesus and it's a time where I can spend time with my family. You know, let's say there's a church member, they go, you know what, I've got these books that I've ordered online and after I invite my family over and a couple of friends for a meal, I'm going to give them this book, you know. What a wonderful opportunity. It's a witnessing tool. Mm. But on the flip side of that, I can totally understand why there are Christians who do not want to celebrate Christmas, precisely for what we're saying tonight. It's not a biblical, there's nothing in the Bible and the pagan associations. So if there is someone listening tonight, there's, hey, Pastor Will, I think you may have crossed the line with this. You know, I wouldn't call it an Easter service. I think that we have nothing to do with Easter. I get where you're coming from. And if that's kind of where that's the camp you're sitting in, hey, all good. No problem at all. What I think where we should land on this kind of this thinking about, you know, some of these topics that kind of pop up every, you know, not just Easter, but there's a myriad of questions where there's a question that is posed to Christians. Should I do this? Should I do that? And I guess where I'm landing with this thing is, Pastor Dieter, is in some way, it's up to the individual to decide. So, you know, if you're a Christian and you're like, you know what, because of the pagan origins, I cannot in conscience celebrate Easter. Hey, totally get where you come from. If there's another church follower of Jesus that says, you know what, I may understand the pagan origins of Easter, but you know what? I know it's a time that I'm going to be around some of my friends and, you know, or I know that my church has got something lined up this weekend. And, this is the time where I'm going to invite a colleague from work. You know, that's great as well. But what we're trying to establish is no, it's not biblical. So let's just. That's loud and clear tonight, right? We don't see it in the Bible. We don't see Easter bunnies in the Bible. Yes, we understand there is a pagan origin there. But we also understand that, hey, it's a wonderful time to share and to witness. So, Pastor Dieter, we've got about 6 minutes to go. We normally promote the book of it twice, but you know what? Time has run away, and I don't mind just kind of walking the time out, so to speak. So is there any, maybe something we may not have touched that you want to quickly insert in the remaining minutes that we got?
Really. I think.
Yep.
I really think that at the end of the day, the majority of what we preach as we read through scripture, we cannot escape the gospel story because it's all the way through it everywhere.
Amen.
And even if we have to preach messages of what some people would call judgment, where we have to bring out some negatives in society and focus on the redemption in Christ, well, that's the gospel story and the Easter story, the death and resurrection of Christ. Well, he's the one that frees us to walk in newness of life, and it's his life. He was wounded and bruised for our transgressions and iniquities.
Yeah.
So this is always a message that's on our minds and on our hearts from week to week as we preach and share. So it's the emphasis this week. I think people look for words and semantic things. Some people out of the goodness of their hearts, some people maybe not so. But at the end of the day, any opportunity to share the gospel and invite people to come along where they wouldn't normally come, well, that's an opportunity. And I'm pretty sure that you've preached the case for Christ message on days other than Easter absolutely. And Christmas. And we're all probably in that same boat. But at the same time, you've got, we probably would change our language a bit because we are aware that people would bring friends and relatives who wouldn't necessarily be comfortable any other time of the year.
Yeah.
And if they meet Jesus, then that's wonderful. That's Amen. The whole point, to meet Jesus for themselves.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Dieter, it's been a pleasure, even though you are many, many miles away at Port Augusta, the blessing of technology and the phone to really connect with you. I appreciate your ministry, my brother, and I really appreciate Likewise. What you contribute to our churches here in South Australia. So, hey, we've got a couple of minutes, so let me just kind of wrap up tonight. So is Easter biblical? We are saying, no, it's not. It's not in the Bible. But we do see the biblical reality of Jesus's death on the cross, his burial, and the resurrection. That we say 100% is in the Bible. Easter bunnies and Easter eggs? No, definitely that has pagan origins. Where do we land on this? We say, hey, go with your conscience and as the Holy Spirit leads. However, this weekend is going to be a wonderful opportunity to share Jesus with someone. Pastor Dieter, I might just maybe plug the book offer just right now. We've got just a couple of minutes, so I want to maybe just give it another quick plug. If you missed it the first time, we'd love to give you a free book offer from us to you. The book is entitled The Desire of Ages. I am telling you, if you do not have a copy of this book, you have to text through for this free book offer. If you'd like a free copy of the book, The Desire of Ages by author Ellen G. White. It's an amazing book on the life of Jesus. The code that you need to text us is SA410. So SA410. Text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we will get that book out to you as soon as we can. Pastor Dieter, I just want to give a quick shout out to tomorrow's presenters. We've got Pastor Marty. They'll be looking at the question, did Jesus really exist? And so you're going to be in for a treat. Pastor Justin, Pastor Marty will be taking our Drive Time Live program tomorrow at 5 p.m. Adelaide time. So I think that's about it, Pastor Dieter. Do you want to maybe close? We've got literally just 2 minutes. Maybe just a short prayer to round out our program tonight.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Father in heaven, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to talk about you and what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for Jesus, his sacrifice, and Lord, his resurrection and ascension, his ministry on our behalf right now, Lord. I pray that those who might be out there listening and those who might be looking for you will find you, because Lord, your promise is when we search for all our hearts, we will find you. So Father, Amen. Thank you for this. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' most wonderful holy name. Let it be. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, hey, Pastor Dieter, thank you for leading us in this conversation tonight. Blessings to you and your lovely family out at Port Augusta. Hey, to all our listeners out there, unfortunately, our time is up. We've literally got a minute to go. May God bless you. Thank you for supporting Faith FM Drive Time, 5 p.m. Adelaide time tomorrow, same place, same time. May God bless you, and we'll hope to see you next time. God bless.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes I know, you're isn't worth the living just 'cause he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greatest still, calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know your future. as he lives.